Let's pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In 1895, Mary Torrens Lathrop, a local preacher in the Methodist Church in America, wrote a poem called Judge Softly. There's one of the verses. Just walk a mile in his moccasins before you abuse, criticise and accuse. If just for 1 hour you could find a way to see through his eyes instead of your own muse. Just walk a mile in his moccasins. There is some confusion as to whether the phrase to walk a mile in his moccasins came from the native North American saying or not. We know that Mary Lathrop was involved in working with people on the margins, particularly on the reservations of the indigenous population and also with those caught up in some of the major issues in terms of drink and alcoholism at the time. Whichever is the case, the phrase hides a nugget of truth. If we really do want to understand, then we need to put ourselves into people's stories, to walk in other people's shoes or moccasins, as in the poem. I want to play with these words a little while walking in someone else's shoes. It presents to me a few difficulties. To start with, the shoes might not fit me. I have a variety of shoes, bought some, don't wear them very often at the moment, a variety of shoes. And if I were to try and get into those, that's fine because they fit me. But if I was trying to get into Margaret's shoes, it could be a fairly painful experience. Here goes. Are you ready? Sorry, Margaret. I hope I don't break them. But they don't really fit very well. Or there's these ones. Perhaps these will fit. Feels like the Cinderella story coming on. Let's try these. No, I don't think it's going to work with me somehow. Maybe her walking boots, because you have shoes for different purposes. But you know, that's my foot. Good job I've got no holes in my socks. And that's Margaret's. No, it's not going to work. Just isn't going to work. I shan't be going to the ball today in Margaret's shoes anyway. But we have our shoes for different occasions, whether it's the heels for a nice evening out, do you remember those days? Or boots for a hike up a mountain, or even lockdown when we spend most of our time in our slippers. I suppose you call these moccasins, actually. The truth is, we can't walk in someone else's shoes, unless of course you happen to be the same shoe size, but even then it doesn't mean they'd fit comfortably or look good on you. Shoes are very individual. They are set for us. As different people, we choose our shoes as our moods and our dictates sort us out and help us. So if we can't walk in someone else's shoes, how can we understand them? What can we do? When we're looking at the Bible, how can we look at these stories? We can only really look at them in the light of our own experiences. We can only apply our own understanding of the world, our own life experiences. We can walk in our own shoes and try to read these stories through our own experience of the world around us, through our own understanding of human relations and our understanding of what God means to us. So let's do it. Let's put on our own shoes and see what these two stories tell us about God. To start with, let's start with Moses, the reluctant leader. Last week we heard about Jonah, the moaner, the groaner, but Moses, in a way, was much the same. His life was moderately comfortable, and he didn't really want it unsettled, and he knew only too well what reaction he would get when he went to Pharaoh, and he didn't relish that prospect. it took a life-changing experience to make him rethink. We've heard the story. He was out in the desert and all of a sudden a bushfire started up. And yet this was no ordinary bushfire. It was like a fire, but nothing was actually burning. Moses knew he was in the presence of something special, in the presence of God himself. Now that, at Moses' time, was a terrifying experience. It needed this experience to jolt him enough to make him sit up and listen. The same with Saul. Paul's trip to Damascus and the blinding light experience. He set out to persecute. He set out to find out, root out and get rid of those people who called themselves followers of Jesus, the Christians, the early first Christians that we know of and hear about so often. But it took a blinding light from God to come down and change his experience. He was jolted out of that experience and that obsession to bring followers of Jesus to justice as he saw it. A really good story resonates with the person reading or hearing it. Now, a preacher might turn to you at this point and say, "What is God calling you to do today?" Personally, I recoil at questions like that. I find that it's a tough question, and in truth, one that most of us would find hard to answer. In the middle of a pandemic, when all our lives have been turned upside down, for some of us, it has been the jolt we need to change our lifestyle, our way. It's certainly true that life is very different for us all at the moment. For some of us, we may be more determined to follow the path that we have chosen. Or it might simply be that we've become more content with the simpler pleasures of life. Or for some, it's been a chance to rethink their priorities in life. For very few of us, it's been like the experience that Moses had or that Paul had. It's unlikely to have had that major impact. I've always found both these stories such powerful stories, and yet I find it hard to explain why. In both cases, they are stories of a God who uses people to stand up against injustice. In Moses' case, Moses was sent to let God's people go, to free the Israelites. In Saul's case, he was sent to be a missionary, a minister of God's word to others, to those that wouldn't normally listen or be spoken to. They both tell of people who were prepared to speak truth to power, as it were. It was the little people challenging the powerful. There are so many stories like that in the Bible, where the little people take on the big people. Obviously, David gets Goliath. The prophets Amos and Hosea challenge the unjust and injustice in the whole of Israel at the time. And Jesus turns over the tables in the temple because of the corruption in the temple at the time. And ultimately, the powers that be bring Jesus to trial and crucifixion. All of the stories that I've mentioned start with a profound sense that something was wrong and it needed to be fixed. It needed to be put right. I do believe that God calls each one of us to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, for the little people, to call people to account for wrongdoings and to work for justice and goodness in our world. But there's one more point from these stories, I think. Moses was told to take off his shoes. Moses took them off. He didn't need his shoes for support anymore because he was walking in the presence of God. God was with him. God walked beside him and carried him when he needed carrying. God was there with him and was all sufficient. For Saul, God was there in other people. He went to the house of Judas and God sent Ananias to him. So God is there. We don't need the shoes. We don't need the extra support that we should perhaps ordinarily want. We know that God is with us in our journeying. But we also know that God is with us in other people. And we need to use those other people to support us when times get difficult. That can just be a phone call to someone. Might be, I'm feeling a bit rough today, because everybody is at the moment. We all are. And actually, a phone call can cheer you up. As we emerge from the most difficult time for many, the most traumatic events in our lives, these stories, I believe, can give us hope. As we remember the suffering that many have had to endure, and for some, tragically, the loss of life and the physical and mental exhaustion that now dominates so many people's lives, these stories bring to me a sense of hope. You see, God is with us. God is with us in a powerful and ever-present way. But also, God is with us in each other. We can walk together, understand each other, comfort each other, rebuild together, and find a new hope and a new way together. That's what walking in someone else's shoes really means to me. Finding a new way with God and together. Another verse from the poem Judge Softly that was written over 100 years ago, round about the same time as this church, Bell Road, was built to house a community of witnesses. Some words to listen to and to end on. Remember to walk a mile in his moccasins, and remember the lessons of humanity taught to you by your elders. We will be known forever by the tracks we leave in other people's lives, our kindnesses and generosity. We will be known forever by the tracks we leave in other people's lives, our kindnesses and generosities. My prayer this week is that those footprints that we leave will be kindness and will be generosity and will be sharing God's love in a world that needs it more desperately than ever. May your week be blessed. May you find God like Moses and Saul found God, and like the followers of Christ all through the ages have found God. May you find rest and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.